Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey everybody, welcome to Dank Discussions. Today we're joined by Trevor Polinsky. Trevor is the CEO of Solar Alchemy. Thanks for joining us today, Trevor.
Hey Menard, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, the pleasure's all mine, man. You know, it's happy to have you, and we're going to get to talk about some cool stuff. You know, you have a great brand here with Solar Alchemy, specifically talking about formulation and obviously talking about your background, but also, you know, some cool stuff that you guys kind of bring into your brand, such as sound therapy, energy therapy, and your background in alchemy formulation. So a lot of cool things actually that I want to bring awareness to. But I guess first and foremost, let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Yeah, totally. So I'm tuning in right now from Rollinsville, Colorado, about 45 minutes southwest of Boulder. And I actually just relocated here from Madison, Wisconsin a couple months ago.
Sweet. How are you liking it so far?
Oh, I'm loving it, man. We're up in the mountains here. You know, we've got our new lab set up, and it's great. Yeah, it's a good fit for sure.
Cool, yeah. And you know, you mentioned that you're in Wisconsin, and we were talking before, and you said your partner's in Wisconsin. But I want to kind of hear, you know, your background a little bit. You know, you shared a little bit with me, and it sounds like you have a lot of cool influences. So talk to me about your background, you know, just in general, but also specifically within cannabis and how you kind of got to Solar Alchemy.
Yeah, totally. I grew up in the West Coast, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle. I moved to Wisconsin when I was 16. And definitely there's that heavy cannabis influence on the West Coast. It was kind of cool to bring that culture with me when I relocated to the Midwest. And just kind of being a somewhat troubled teenager and, you know, being prescribed Xanax for anxiety and, other pharmaceutical medications that I'm completely off now. I personally, just experienced a lot of relief from plant-based medicines, you know, specifically hemp and cannabis. So I have a lot of respect for the medicinal properties of these plants, and it's something I'm very passionate about. And I strongly believe in being able to offer these therapies to other people. I'm really glad that I'm able to do that.
Oh, definitely. And, you mentioned there being a troubled teen. You know, I was a troubled teen supposedly, right? I mean, I got, my whole thing was my dad was like, well, as long as you get straight A's, I don't really care, you know, and that's kind of sense, you know? So it was like, how bad can it be if you're getting good grades, you know? So that was kind of my way out. But talk to me a little bit about that, you know, kind of, troubled teen. Yeah. How does that, coincide, you know, with everything they're doing now?
Totally. You know, I think I kind of just had a hard time fitting in when I was younger. I had a hard time. It's always tough when you change high schools, you know, and moving, thousands of miles away from your home when you're 16 is definitely a difficult transition. And interesting enough, the way that I really connected with my new friend group was through cannabis. You know, it's kind of, they show that scene of That 70s Show, you know, the dude sitting around in the circle as the camera pans. And, you know, that was pretty much me my late high school years. So I'm not ashamed to admit it. And as something that, was pursued for kind of more like recreational activity, I found that I was definitely receiving, health and medical benefits as well. And I found that my anxiety was getting better, when I had cannabis available. Like I wasn't depressed. It was easier to get out of bed in the morning. I was feeling more inspired and, you know, actually motivated, interesting enough, which most people think it's the opposite, but, you know, I think that it affects everyone differently. So it's something I was very passionate about. And even though I was kind of pursuing it for more of a recreational kind of activity when I was younger, as I delved more into the science of cannabinoid medicine and even the aromatherapy associated with terpenes and getting into kind of whole plant medicine and extractions and the entourage effect and how flavonoids and chlorophyll affect the body. And there's just so many just amazing medical compounds in these plants. And I'm just so stoked to be able to continue to study it and, you know, help distribute these products. athletics. And so, you know, after high school, I have a degree in liberal arts from the Madison Area Technical College. And then I got my bachelor's in business administration from University of Wisconsin. And so, you know, when I went to school, I thought I was going to go more of kind of the business finance route. And I just got more and more kind of dissatisfied with the whole corporate scene. And so I started studying more nutrition and just kind of like health-based supplements in general, and started to learn more and more about how, you know, natural products can be so much better for the body versus these kind of synthetic, you know, petroleum-derived alkaloids that were marketed from big pharma, and really just understanding what medicine actually means and kind of rallying around the concept that, you know, food can be our medicine. Plants are medicine. It doesn't need to be a pill or a chemical that we get from someone with a medical degree. You know, I think just going for a walk in nature can be medicine. So really kind of redefining that paradigm of what we experience health benefits from and trying to focus on that. So after I graduated college, I worked for a couple startups in the organic food industry. I got to, you know, water and grow microgreens, you know, sunflowers, pea shoots, super nutrient dense, high protein, you know, high chlorophyll, good enzyme plants, and, you know, learning more about how to sustain the body with very nutrient dense food that, you know, is less caloric. So it's, you know, I think as a society, sometimes we have a tendency to overconsume. So it was just a really cool concept to find like, oh, wow, like I could eat, you know, a half pound of sunflower shoots in a day, and I got, you know, almost everything that my body needs to survive. And so kind of taking a more minimalistic approach at nutrition and trying to look more just at the vitamins and minerals and the nutrients that our bodies needs rather than the, oh, you need 2000 calories a day to survive. And I'm not saying that you don't, but I think there's just more effective and efficient ways to nourish our body. You know, it doesn't involve getting a cheeseburger from McDonald's, so to speak. And so I really enjoyed that experience. So after the sunflower microgreen startup, I got to work for, and we also had like a juice bar and a yoga studio and a library and a crystal shop. And it was just a really cool vibe. People come in, do a yoga class, get a smoothie after, you know, stock up on their microgreens. We had a CSA with local farmers, and it was just a really cool kind of community vibe that we were building. You know, artists would come and hang out and do live painting, and you know, we had different musical events. It was just an awesome experience. But unfortunately, it was more of a volunteer base, and it wasn't necessarily paying the bills. So I had to, you know, look for something that was going to be a little more practical for, you know, making a living wage, so to speak. And after that, I worked for another organic food company that was involved in nut butter manufacturing. And so we had peanut butter, almond butter, sunflower butter, different. And then they merged with another company, and we were doing different protein bars and organic kind of plant-based pastas. We had like a spinach fettuccine. And so just learning more about kind of the organic food industry, health-based products, you know, how can we market nutrition to people, you know, and make a paycheck, but also, you know, make a living while offering a service that people benefit from. And so that was a great experience as well. But unfortunately, that company got bought and merged, and it got super corporate. And I kind of felt like I was now dealing with the exact situation that I was trying to avoid when I changed gears in college and was no longer interested in going the financial route. So after that, I kind of took some time to kind of soul search and decide what I wanted my next adventure to be. And so while I was doing that, I actually started working at a local kind of glass shop, metaphysical shop. We had crystals and different obscure herbs and singing bowls and things of that nature. And that store happened to be the first store in the state of Wisconsin that started selling CBD products. And this was before the farm bill even hit.
What year was this?
And so CBD, this was back in 2017. Cosmic Delights was the name of the shop I was working at. Yeah. And so that was cool. And, you know, it was a fun experience. They used to have, like, you know, psychics come in and do readings, and got to hang out and talk about crystals and minerals. And, you know, they had different obscure herbs that you could come and purchase for, you know, different formulations and stuff, and essential oils, and, you know, that whole vibe kind of going on. But as soon as we started carrying CBD, it became our number one seller. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the daily sales, like, quadrupled within like a month or two, and pretty soon, wow, you know, half the shop was, you know, hemp products. And so it now became a full-time position for me to be as educated as I could on the different types of hemp products. You know, what makes, you know, a full spectrum, you know, what's the difference between an isolate versus a CO2 derived versus an ethanol derived? Do you want chlorophyll in your products? Like, do you want a full spec or a broad spec? Just all these different questions I needed to be able to answer, and also just be able to offer this information, even if the customer didn't know what questions to ask. You know, what if we had a truck driver come in that's drug tested every week, and he doesn't know what the difference between a broad spectrum and a full spectrum is, but, you know, if he's getting drug tested, I need to make sure that I'm recommending a product that's not going to potentially result in him losing his job, or whether it's, you know, someone on papers for whatever, you know, lots of things that I can offer information on, and, you know, try to be as helpful to the customer as possible. And man, back in 2017, that was crazy. It was like, you know, you're selling like a 250 milligram, you know, bottle of isolate for like $200 back, wow, in the day. Just, wow, like hilarious now when you look at how much prices have dropped. I mean, it's crazy how much people were paying for this stuff back in the day. And so the more research I did, I just kind of became dissatisfied with the majority of the products I was seeing on the shelf. You know, a lot of this was industrial hemp imported from Switzerland, and it might have been used for, you know, like soil remediation as like a soil cleaner, and like nothing was organic, and, you know, the companies weren't really offering a lot of information on like how it was grown or how it was extracted, or, you know, necessarily where the hemp came from. And you know, some of the COAs weren't matching what was on the bottle versus what was listed on the website. And there was just kind of a lot of inconsistency in the industry. And so I started doing as much research as I could on the entourage effect and extraction processes, farming practices. You know, what does biodynamic mean? What is regenerative farming? What's living soil? And, you know, what's the difference between a polar and a non-polar solvent? Like, why does a CO2 extract gold, but like an ethanol extract is green? Do you want it to be green? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, sure, like the chlorophyll is kind of bitter, but is it offering additional health benefits? You know, what's the best? What do we want? You know, why is one better than the other? Or what's the differences? And so really just tried to learn as much as I could about everything. You know, I bought a book called Phytochemistry, and it, you know, it goes into all the different compounds and, you know, breaks down what's the difference between a flavonoid and an aldehyde, or a ketone versus a monoterpene, or a sequestraterpene versus a cannabinoid. And, you know, should we care about terpenes, or is it just about the CBD content? I had all these questions, and I needed to know as much as possible so that I could make good recommendations to these customers that were coming in. And the more I learned, you know, I felt like, wow, you know, like, I don't think there's anything that these companies are doing that I couldn't do myself. Mm-hmm. And so right around that time, I reached out to a friend of mine in Colorado who worked in the hemp industry. And he was also very involved in alchemy and a specific practice within alchemy known as spagyrics. So spagyrics is a Greek term. It was coined by a Swiss philosopher by the name of Paracelsus, which is actually a pseudonym. So para meant above or beyond, and Celsus meant medicine. So this historical character chose to go by the name above or beyond medicine, which I just thought was awesome. And the term spagyrics actually means to separate and recombine. And so essentially Paracelsus figured out back in the, I want to say like the 16th century, that by extracting plants and separating the different compounds and then recombining them in a specific manner, you're causing acids-base reactions and you're essentially evolving the compounds into more potent versions of themselves. So to try to simplify it a little bit, in spagyrics, you're capturing the mineral salts and the oils of the plant, whereas with most extraction processes, you're only capturing the oils. And so when you capture the mineral salts and then you recombine those to the oils, they react and there's new compounds formed that weren't there previously. The mineral salts also act as an electrolyte carrier, and it helps deliver the cannabinoids past the cell membranes. And so now you have an awesome delivery system that came straight from the plant that's going to make your product more bioavailable. So like with a CBD isolate, you're only actually getting around a 6% bioavailability. When you have the mineral salts present, you're pushing 50 to 80%. So you're getting way more bang for your buck. You're honoring the plant. It's a true whole plant extract. It's more bioavailable. There's no waste product. With other extraction processes, they just have, you know, barrels and barrels of this leftover discarded biomass that they're like, oh, we pulled the CBD out of here, now just throw it away. And we have there's nothing left over when we're done extracting with the spagyric process. So that's really exciting. It's something unique that I haven't really seen done much in the hemp or cannabis industry. And I'm just really happy to be able to offer and provide and promote and educate this service and these products to people.
Wow. Wow. Trevor, I got to tell you, man, that was incredible. You know, I mean, just even trying to keep up with the terms with the, you know, obviously you have so much knowledge, a wealth of knowledge, you know, and things that, you know, I probably know very little about, if anything, you know, so that was really cool and a lot to unpack. And I want to dig deeper into that, some of the stuff, but also, you know, first of all, you know, you shared so much there, you know, in terms of, you know, going all the way back and, you know, moving from place to place and the effect of that on you. And, but then also, you know, kind of moving it within, with your careers, right? In the financial sector and saying, you know what, I don't want to be part of this kind of thing, and how it just kind of still kind of followed you. And you once again were like, no, I'm going to go here. And it kind of led you on this path that you're on now, you know? And I think that's really cool how, you know, how we listen to ourselves, we listen to our goals, and we don't just kind of settle in. We're actually led on the path, right? Cause all this stuff, it seems like you learned this, you know, when you were working for Cosmic Delights, right? And that was, you know, the place that opened up. And I love the fact that, you know, look at how you took that ownership of that position, right? A lot of times, you know, we talk about CBD stores and we'd be lucky to have any sort of knowledge. And then you know, for people who are working there, and then, okay, cool. So now we have some knowledge and we can answer some FAQs, but you went really deep in there, you know, and able to learn so many amazing things that I do want to talk about, want to get into, you know, with the entourage effect and polar versus non-polar solvent and all that stuff, and digging more into, you know, on the alchemy side as well. But, you know, you also mentioned some things there, right, that, you know, I'm a pretty spiritual person myself, and, you know, and that's a driving force for me. But, you know, obviously in CBD, in cannabis, you know, we talk a lot about science, right? We talk a lot about research, and then people say, oh, well, you need to have research. And you also talked about plant-based medicine, and you're right, how we get taken off of that, you know, to think that pills are going to be the thing. But what I'm getting at is, you know, we're so now conditioned to look at medicine in a certain way, and to look at it, you know, from this pharmaceutical point of view, you know, from a lab, you know, and these pills and stuff. And then also talking about research, and people say, well, there's not enough research. And I said, well, there's plenty of research. You just don't know where to look for it. But, you know, then, you know, you're talking about metaphysical and crystals, you know, and which many people would define as like a pseudoscience, right? So like, how do you really combine those two aspects, right? Or what do you say to people that are like, well, we have enough problems already now trying to, you know, get legitimacy, with the science aspect. We don't want to bring in all the pseudoscience kind of things. What do you say to that? And how do you kind of like bring them together? Because you're so knowledgeable on all aspects, I can tell already.
Totally. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, how do we merge the physical with the spiritual? And how can we, you know, dip our toes into both pools, so to speak, and, you know, draw from both knowledge bases and combine them in a cohesive manner? And alchemy has really been my best way to do that. You know, in alchemy, they considered the spirit of the plant was the alcohol, and the soul of the plant was the oil, and the body of the plant was the salt. And so when you use the spirit of the plant, you know, the alcohol, which is a product of plants itself, it's a natural fermentation process. They say that, you know, alcohol is a solvent that's made by plants for plants. So you take that spirit and then you use that to extract the soul or the oil of the plant and then recombine it with the body or the salts. And I call that the resurrection. You know, you're recombining spirit with soul and body. And that's how the ancient philosophers described these extraction processes. You know, they spoke in kind of coded, spiritualized analogies, you know, spirit, soul, body, sulfur, mercury, you know. And I think that, you know, in more chemical terms, we're like, oh, it's, you know, we have, you know, terpenoid rich oils that are cannabinoid dense, and, you know, using our, you know, high grade ethanol because it's a polar and a nonpolar solvent. And then, you know, if we use a mix of, you know, carbonate salts, it creates an acid to base reaction. And then there's new compounds that are formed that are medicinal. And that's wonderful. We can understand this in chemical terms. You know, we can use chemistry techniques to understand, you know, why this medicine is working. But, you know, back in the olden days, this was more of a metaphysical kind of spiritual practice. And, you know, it had a lot more to do with the energy work that went into it. So yeah, I think that, you know, using science to understand spiritual concepts is a great practice and something that's worth more energy and attention nowadays, just because we can, you know, understand, you know, the concepts of spirit and soul doesn't mean that it's, you know, woo-woo, you know, kind of hippy-dippy, you know, fairy talk. It's like, no, we can live in both worlds, and they do interact. And it's cool being able to use, you know, chemistry techniques to analyze what the ancient alchemists referred to as, you know, spirit and soul. And I think that we're going to start to see a lot of really cool new medicinal compounds being discovered if we actually draw from the ancient knowledge sets rather than some of the kind of artificial, more kind of synthetic practices that are occurring, because you can patent a synthetic molecule, but if it's something that's found in nature, it's a little more difficult to control. And I think that's why we kind of ended up with the medical and, you know, some of the education systems currently in place, is, you know, some of these power structures are there for a reason. But so yeah, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, and definitely open up a lot more questions, which is great too, you know. And I'm glad that you mentioned too, right, that this kind of, like, you know, you said it yourself, like this hippy dippy kind of woohoo kind of mentality. And I think that's kind of the picture that we get a lot. I mean, I'm from LA, right? I'm from LA, born and raised. I mean, I, you know, lived other places in the world as well. But for the most part in LA, spent my formative years there. So, you know, have my buddies who moved to Venice, and, you know, talk about, you know, healing circles and you know, different rituals that go on. And these are kind of the pictures that I have, right? So with a lot of the things that you're talking about, right? So, I mean, what exactly, for people who don't know, what exactly is alchemy, right? And how is it kind of turned, was it ever like a mainstream form of healing or anything? Or is it kind of was a little bit underneath the surface? And why do you think it's so kind of like underneath the surface now? Or is there kind of like a new... you know, you mentioned the word like resurrection. Is there like a new kind of reawakening to it? There is now. Are those fair questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first one you ask is, what is alchemy? How do we define alchemy? And so the best definition I've heard of alchemy is it's the understanding of how consciousness relates to matter. You know, obviously us as human beings, you know, we are conscious entities. We are much more than just the red blood cells that make up our body. And so how do we apply this concept of consciousness to other matter? You know, are plants conscious beings? Are crystals conscious beings? What about metals or minerals? You know, what makes something dead versus alive? Does it need to have like a heartbeat and, you know, blood that flows to make it conscious? How do we define these things? You know, I mean, even getting, you know, back in my experience at the juice bar, you know, we marketed ourselves based on, we had live juice. What does it mean? How can juice be alive? It's like, oh, well, we juice the plant fresh in front of the customer with a cold press juicer. These enzymes are still living. You're drinking a living live juice. Like, well, why does that matter? Why does it matter if it's pasteurized? Why does it matter if it's frozen and processed? It's still the same chemical constituents. Like, what do you mean live juice? You know? And so how do we apply that towards other medicines? You know, is there a difference between live versus dead CBD? You know, like whole plant versus isolate, you know, and how do we define life and consciousness, and how do we use these terms to understand the world that we live in? And I don't have all the answers to these questions, but I just think it's great that we can ask these questions.
I mean, I never thought of it like that. I was going to say, what is live versus dead CBD, right? I mean, but... No, go on. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, you're good. I'll take it right there. So what is live versus dead CBD? You know, so like, let's compare it to juice, for instance. So, you know, if you take a vitamin C pill, you know, sure, it's vitamin C is like the main active ingredient in orange juice. But like, if you're just taking a vitamin C pill, I'd call that kind of like a dead orange juice. It's been isolated and processed and, you know, potentially even just artificially synthesized. And like, sure, it's the same chemical compound that you're going to find in a living orange, but that pill is not alive. You know, if you go down to Florida and you pick a bucket of oranges off a tree, and then you throw them straight in the cold press juicer and you drink it as it's coming out, like you're getting that orange juice is still alive. You know, that orange was living when it was plucked from that tree. And you're drinking the living juice from that tree and that orange. You're drinking live orange juice. It's such a difference between taking a artificially synthesized vitamin C pill. It's just, it's not the same at all. And so how do we apply this towards hemp and cannabis and just cannabinoid medicine in general? And I think that's when we start to get into what does full spectrum mean versus an isolate. And so I think that, you know, whereas taking a CBD isolate, that's the equivalent of your artificially synthesized vitamin C pill. And if you get into a full spectrum or whole plant, or as we call it with Spagyrix, beyond full spectrum extract of the hemp, now you're getting more of a living hemp supplement, so to speak.
Wow, that's amazing. So, and I guess that kind of leads into as well, you know, so you're talking about, you know, isolates, those kinds of extracts, you know, and even like you said, synthesized molecules, right, that we see a lot of the pharmaceuticals getting into. But it's, you know, talk to me now, you know, you brought up a few times here the entourage effect, right? So talk to me about the importance of the entourage effect. I think that's kind of what you're hinting at, right, when you talk about vitamin C and everything else that goes along with it, you know. But talk to me about, what is the entourage effect? Why is it important? And how does it affect the body different than, you know, let's say, you know, an isolate or anything like that?
Absolutely. So I think the easiest way to sum up the entourage effect would be that the sum is greater than its individual parts. So it's like, you know, kind of like, 1 + 1 now equals 3 type thing. And it's all about, so I think it's easier to kind of describe in analogies. So I'll try to compare it to like sports or music. So it's, you know, like with a CBD isolate, you know, it's like just having your quarterback on the field. And, you know, he doesn't have his linemen to back him up, he's going to get sacked right away, you know? So it's like, you know, your terpenes are kind of like your linemen, and then your flavonoids are like your wide receivers, and then your chlorophylls like your running backs. And I guess what I'm trying to say is you need all the players on the field for them to function cohesively together and work as a team. And I think you can kind of apply the same concept towards like music or painting. So like a CBD isolate, it's kind of like just a pencil drawing. You know, you have one color and you can't really apply, you know, depth or layers to it. Whereas like, you know, with the full spectrum, all of a sudden you have the full RGB palette and you can go into, you know, different variants and hues and saturation and tone, and it just gives you so much more to work with. And it's like you're putting life, you're putting soul into this painting. It's not just, you know, a black line here and a black line there. You have hundreds and thousands of colors to work with, and they synergize and work together to create these beautiful masterpieces. Or with music, you know, it's like listening to you know, just one instrument play versus like an entire symphony that plays in unison. And you know, there's a ballad and you know, the treble and the bass and the rhythm and just all the different pieces working together to create a much more three-dimensional experience versus just a flat, you know, maybe listening to one trumpet player play one note versus the entire brass section coming in together to create that full sound experience that you don't just hear, but you feel. And so I think that's kind of the best way to compare, you know, the, you know, 500 to 1,000 different phytoconstituents in a true whole plant extract versus just a CBD isolate.
Wow. Wow. I mean, this is Trevor. I love this, man. This is revealing so much to me, and, you know, so many different pieces. It's kind of like combining them all. And I guess that's kind of like, maybe I don't know, I'm new to this, but maybe what alchemy is, right? It's kind of, you know, we look at things as individual pieces a lot, and we don't really realize how they're connected to each other. And it's kind of like, you know, we have knowledge of different aspects of the plant or different aspects of the industry, but being able to combine them together and kind of connect the dots, I think, is what I'm getting out of this. And that's really awesome, you know. And I love the way that you describe it in such poetic terms, right? Such artistic terms. You know, instead of just coming down and saying, okay, well, this is it, this is this, you're, you know, just, you know, with strokes of a brush and creating art and I don't know, I love that, man. So, but you know, when you were talking earlier, I just took down a bunch of notes and a bunch of stuff that like just piqued my interest. So I'm just going to kind of, you know, so also you talked about, you know, terpenes, right? And I think terpenes, we talk a lot more about, you know, on the THC side, right? On the cannabis side. And of course, you know, also with hemp and you know, hemp flower as well. But we talk about that a lot. We don't necessarily talk about it so much when it comes to like CBD products, you know, at least not in my experience as much, you know, you do and you don't. So talk to me about, you know, should we care about terpenes or just the CBD content and why?
Yeah, I think that we should absolutely care about terpenes and understanding more about, you know, what makes different strains elicit different effects. You know, the same way that, you know, we kind of oversimplify cannabis into indica and sativa. It's like, oh, you know, indica makes you sleepy and couch locked and sativa gives you energy. And sure, you know, if we're 16, that's a great way to try to understand a very complex plant. But I mean, as we learn more and more about this, it's not just the shape of the, you know, the plant and how it grows, but like, what are the different terpenoids that are being expressed and how do those measurable constituents influence the effect of, you know, what the medicine is going to elicit when it's consumed, and what are the different, you know, combinations of these terpenes and how do they interact with each other? And I think that that topic in general deserves much more attention and energy. And yes, you know, cannabinoids are great. CBD is very important, you know, just as CBC and CBG and CBN and THC and the other, you know, 129 or whatever it is we're at right now.
33, 40, whatever. Yeah, there's those different numbers. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, like, why is, you know, limonene going to be better for energy versus, you know, borneol and myrcene is going to be better for pain? Why is lenalool better for anxiety? You know, why does, you know, pinene reduce the sometimes like anxiety producing effects of THC if it's not being expressed properly? Why, like, how do these, you know, different terpenoids and different strains of hemp and cannabis elicit different effects? And why is that? And so it's, I think that is a topic that definitely deserves much more study. And it definitely overlaps with a lot of aromatherapy, because, you know, these terpenes are not just found in cannabis and hemp, but in, you know, many, many other plants. And I think that when we're going to start to see the most benefit out of hemp and cannabis is actually pairing it with other botanical extracts.
So yeah, I mean, so that's another thing, right? The other botanical extracts, and that's something that you have a lot of experience with, you know, as well. So, you know, talk to me what you guys are doing there, Solar Alchemy, in terms of that kind of formulation. You know, I mean, obviously you're bringing a brand new way of, you know, we talk about formulation, we've covered formulation before, but I think it's kind of unique in the way that you look at it, even if the ingredients may be the same. And what kind of plays a role in that? I mean, even talking about the terpenes, you know, and how one affects anxiety and another one affects, you know, so are those also considerations? So talk to me about that with what you guys are doing with Solar Alchemy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, basically we look at the different, you know, terpene studies that are currently available and try to understand, you know, which terpenes are eliciting which effects when paired with cannabinoids. And then we try to kind of expand our view, so to speak, where we start to look at other plants and, you know, botanical extracts that have those same compounds that are found in hemp and cannabis, and how can we pair these plants with the hemp in ways that they synergize. You know, so like a borneol, for instance, it's a great terpene. It opens up the blood-brain barrier. It's supposed to have amazing analgesic and pain-relieving effects. But it's found in hemp and cannabis, but only in very, very small amounts. And so, you know, we found a plant called Anula that has, you know, a ton of borneol. And if you, you know, steam distill its terpenes out. And so if you take that, you know, borneol extracted from Anula and now pair it with your hemp extract, all of a sudden you have, you know, the benefit of a very high borneol percentage that you're not really going to find those levels naturally by just extracting it from the hemp, but by synergizing it with another plant that produces that compound in a higher amount, you can now create a product that's that much more effective.
So it's, you know, it is a lot having to do with that entourage effect, you know, like you were saying, having to bring in, you know, everything to aid in that effect. You know, I love that. And, you know, as we're talking off air as well, you're talking about how, you know, you've been on this journey for a while, you and Christopher, and, you know, you guys had another kind of iteration as in Lined Alchemy, right? So what played into the role of, you know, moving it from Enlightened Alchemy to Solar Alchemy, and kind of what were the reasons behind it, and what's been the effect of that?
Yeah, totally. So with Enlightened Alchemy, you know, Enlightened is always going to have a special place in my heart. That was the first brand we started together, and you know, it was just received so well in the Madison, Wisconsin community, and so many people got such amazing benefit from it. And as we, you know, we started to grow up as a brand, and realized we were going to have to redo a lot of our packaging and branding and marketing and all that stuff. And at a certain point, it seemed like it almost just made more sense to kind of just like start scratch rather than trying to, you know, redefine this thing that we had already started. And so that's how we have kind of Solar and Enlightened are kind of their two different entities now. But Enlightened was a great experience. We had a lot of fun with it. It was very well received. And so I think Solar is kind of just the more grown up version of that, so to speak.
Okay, cool. And I mean, is it something that you plan to keep both things going? I know you're most focused on Solar now, but I think, you know, you're telling me before that, Enlightened still gets a lot of traction, So I guess my question is is there a motivation to combine them or to kind of keep them going separately since one has, such a following to keep on growing Solar or consolidate, or what's the motivation behind that?
Yeah, totally. The plan for now is to kind of leave Enlightened as a great local brand in the Madison, Wisconsin community. And, we're not really putting a lot of effort into kind of marketing or expanding it. Is a project that it worked out great and people love it, so we'll leave it available for people to seek out and purchase if that's the route they want to go. And then Solar is kind of a bit more kind of advanced from the formulation side. Enlightened is just the Spigyric hemp extract, whereas Solar we're actually combining other botanicals to elicit specific effects. And, we're having a little more fun with the branding and packaging and the marketing of it in that way. So I think that, for the time being, we planned on, leaving Enlightened, available for people to seek out. It's not something that we're kind of actively promoting, but it definitely continues to exist.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and that's answering my next question. So I was going to say, obviously the branding is completely different, and I can see how, Solar is like just a whole nother level, and I was going to ask about are they the same products, but you answered right there, that, it's a Corona version of the products as well and different kinds of formulation. What has been, your biggest obstacle with Solar, right? So, you have this following here with Enlightened, and it's kind of, like you said, self-sustaining in the sense that it's still kind of rolling, just because of the following you've had. But what's been the biggest obstacle with Soul Academy getting it going, and how you've been able to overcome that? And how have you been able to overcome that?
Yeah. So, in a lot of ways, Enlightened was much easier to achieve success because it was started first. That was before the farm bill even passed. It was a small local community brand and vibe that, a smaller kind of target demographic that we were going after. Whereas Solar, we cast a much wider net. I think that it's always going to be much more difficult to try to break into a national marketplace rather than just kind of be a big fish in a small pond, so to speak. I mean, it's us being, having a very, very minimal marketing budget, so to speak, makes it extremely difficult to compete with Charlotte's Web or, Ignite or, some of these other kind of major CBD companies that have, dozens of employees and, a 6 to 7 figure, budget for expansion and operations and marketing and kind of all that stuff. And especially as the barriers to entry, get higher and higher with, compliance and regulation. And, we do full panel testing on all of our products in the state of Florida, which is, the highest pesticide count of any standard panel in the country, and all of our, we say right on our product, it's, pesticide free, heavy metal free, microbial free, no residual solvent. We do full panels on all of our products and, but just like, all that testing costs money, and so it's easier for these bigger brands, that can kind of afford these barriers to entry where it's, kind of a little more of a financial hardship for us smaller guys to stay compliant, Even though, you know, we know where our hemp was farmed, we know there's no pesticides on it, but being able to prove that costs money, and it is important that we're able to prove that, and and we do. But, you know, also just being able to, you know, buy advertisements and being able to market these products. I mean, you can't market on social media. You can't run Instagram ads. You can't run Facebook ads. You know, print media is slowly dying, unfortunately. And so kind of the best way to promote these products is on, you know, podcasts such as yourself. And that's why I'm so grateful to be here today.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'm grateful to be, I'm grateful to have you on. You know, this has been incredible so far. Like I said, really eye-opening in a lot of ways. And yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, you know, I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, with the mind being lean, and, you know, I mentioned something like Charlotte's Web, you know, big companies that are out there, you know, it's, when we look at competing against that, I think that's where it becomes, can be overwhelming at times, right? And I say, how are we going to get there? And of course, you know, it's not impossible either. Right? But looking at it, like, you know, there's a huge market share, right? There's a huge market share. You know, there's a lot of companies out there, great companies who are doing it. You know, I get to talk to a lot of people and a lot of different, you know, different kinds of formulations. And I love what you guys are doing. You know, I love what you guys are doing. So I don't see why there's any reason why you guys wouldn't be able to have a great part of that market share. I think, you know, you mentioned that nationwide exposure, you know, and you know, I think your products really appeal to a certain type of consumer, you know, that are around the nation, no doubt about it. But, you know, you know, a lot of times we see, you know, maybe to single moms, or not just single moms, but, you know, stay at home moms, or, you know, there's so many different demographics, you know, within, you know, with health industry and sports and recovery, everything like that. This is a little bit different, you know, and but there's no reason why you guys shouldn't be able to hit your stride with that, and, you know, especially since you've seen it happen with the mind, you know, and this is like a bigger, you know, bigger, you know, grown-up version of it, I guess. So, you know, aside from that, you know, you mentioned like a marketing budget, which, you know, obviously, you know, people have different levels of that. What other challenges do you see you're still facing today, besides the ads and the marketing budget? You know, it's because, you know, it's, this is something that I think more people should be aware of, definitely.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, I think, you know, especially right now, I'd say COVID is the elephant in the room that's affecting everyone.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, especially in like the state of Wisconsin, where hemp is considered a non-essential good. And so, you know, all, you know, 20-something of our retailers in the state of Wisconsin had to close their doors this year, you know, and so that's definitely been a hurdle to, you know, get over. And we've had to transition into more of kind of an e-commerce strategy and more of a B2C rather than a B2B model. So, you know, there's definitely solutions to these problems, and you have to just be able to adapt and pivot to meet the market and the trends where they're at. You know, but I guess some other, you know, obstacles and barriers to entry are just, you know, overhead, meeting the packaging MOQs. You know, it's, we have these really cool, you know, square glass bottles with wood grain tops and, you know, unique, you know, printing on it. And it's like, well, you know, we're hand stickering all these bottles by hand right now, you know? So it's like, we're spending a fortune on the packaging, but, you know, it's, I think it's important that it, it elicits the appearance of the quality that's inside the bottle, you know. And so we're working on scaling up into, you know, being able to just go straight to print. And we'd like to be able to work with, you know, American glass manufacturers. But, you know, a lot of these quotes that I've gotten back, it's like, you know, we have to pre-purchase 100,000 bottles in order to have them made in the United States. And it's like, sure, if you're, you know, Green Roads, that's no problem. You can buy 100,000 bottles, but it's a little more of a hurdle for us to fork over upfront. So kind of, you know, just packaging overhead requirements, you know, I'd say that's, you know, definitely something that we're working towards. And we could just, you know, pivot back to the traditional like round cobalt or, you know, amber bottles that everyone else uses. But we really pride ourselves on being unique, and not just with what's inside the bottle, but with how the bottle looks as well.
I know, Dan. I mean, I look at your stuff, and you know, we talk a lot about the industry being flooded, or, you know, you know, how do you differentiate yourself? And there's so many, you know, white label products out there that, you know, all look the same, and just having, you guys are different, you know, So, and obviously, you know, COVID-19, like you said, the elephant in the room, there's no doubt about it, you know, affected everybody, you know, and I think, you know, we talk about a lot of the brands that have been around, or that came around, you know, just because of the market opportunity, you know, and, you know, just as a way to make money, you know, and a lot of them came in with a lot of funding.
Totally. And I, yeah, and I think the, you know, the term green rush got thrown around so much that all of a sudden you had a bunch of snakes in the water that are like, oh, I want some of that hemp money. And, you know, all of a sudden you got a bunch of players that are not in the industry for the right reason. They're not here to, you know, help distribute health products because they care about people. They're just in it to make a quick buck. And that's why you have such a saturated market now, and just so many of, you know, just like isolate products that don't really do much. And it's unfortunate because then, you know, Joe Schmo consumer doesn't even, you know what the word full spectrum means. And so they just buy an isolate, you know, and they try it and it doesn't work. And they think that, oh, you know, CBD is nonsense. I bought a bottle at a gas station and, you know, I drank the whole thing over a week and I didn't feel anything. And it's like, well, yeah, don't buy your CBD at the gas station, you know? And it's tough too, because a lot of the average consumers aren't educated on, you know, the different types of extraction processes or like what makes a product good versus not. And it's, you know, I think education is just really important, and it's tough to educate the average consumer about the differences in these products, or even just connect with them in a way that they're interested in learning why one product is better than the other. And, you know, trying to relay that information in digestible terminology, I think is definitely a challenge as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And, you know, talking about COVID-19, you know, and those snakes in the water, I think COVID-19 is actually, you know, I'm not a financial expert, but I've seen, you know, numbers going up for our clients and, you know, reports of the industry as a whole, you know, but I think COVID-19 is, you know, hopefully going to do a good job of correcting the market a little bit in that regard, you know. A lot of people who came in just for that, you know, the toughing, when the going gets tough, you know, it's easy to just bail, you know, when you don't have really any skin in the game, you know, as, you know, you've been here for a long time, learning all your stuff and have a real passion for what it is, you know, and trying to bring that to the nationwide audience. So I really, you know, appreciate that. And I think, you know, if there's any silver lining, I hope that, that's kind of the way it plays out. You know, people who can survive, you know, it's not saying it's easy. You know, it's been especially tough, I know, for so many people out there during COVID, you know, and but people who can weather the water, I think, are going to be better off in the end, in a roomier water as well. You know, it's not going to be so saturated, that's for sure. So very good. So, you know, what can we expect from Solar Alchemy? Oh, go on.
I was just going to say, I think you're right. You know, it's hopefully the silver lining, you know, with the whole COVID-19 situation is that it does kind of weed out some of the players in the industry that, you know, aren't in it for the right reason. And, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, we'll be one of the good guys, you know, left when the dust settles, so to speak.
Yeah. Definitely good. So good, man. So, you know, as we're winding down here, how do you define success, whether professionally, personally, existentially? What does success look like for you?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, so like before I decided to get, you know, more involved in the CBD industry, after I left my job at the nut butter company, and, you know, it was very important to me to find a sense of altruism in my career and my profession. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, we all need to make money, but how can we make money in a way that gives back to people, it gives back to the community? How do we leave a positive, lasting, beneficial impact with the way that we show up in the world? And so, the feedback that we get from our customers and the benefits that they experience from our products, that's how I define success. Like, I know that I'm making a lasting, beneficial impact in the lives of people around me. And because of that, I feel successful.
That's it, man. You know, making impact. And like you said, you know, of course we have to make money. That's the whole point, right? I mean, you know, there's a whole starving artist, you know, kind of picture. And, you know, it's just a matter of artists being great, but if they can't market themselves, then they can't make money, you know, but having that altruism, bringing that into the, mm-hmm. into the picture. And we talk about that a lot, you know, obviously in the industry, you know, between those so-called snakes and the people who are in here doing it the right reason. You know, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be successful in terms of being able to make an impact on people's lives from that point of view and do well doing it, you know, as well, you know, financially. So definitely looking forward to great things coming from Solar Academy, man. Now, as we close, how can listeners find out more about Solar Alchemy and connect with you and buy your products?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to our website at www.solaralchemy.club. You can see all of our products, and it's spelled S-O-U-L-A-R for people who aren't familiar with the brand. And you can also email me directly, trevor@thehealthclub.world.
Very good, very good. And we'll have links there as always. So you can check that out, Solar Academy. I love it. Soul, the solar. It's a lot of combining things, man, you know, and honestly.
Yeah, solar alchemy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So solar alchemy and, you know, your brain works a mile a minute like mine does. And, you know, I feel like we could have kept going on with this for a long time in terms of, you know, getting into those deep topics, you know, so I have to come on again, but really I appreciate you and I appreciate everybody for listening today. So thanks again for jumping on with me today, Trevor, and good luck to you in the rest of 2020 and beyond.
Hey, Menard, great to be here. Appreciate it so much. All the best to you as well.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.